7 Magic Talk.
All right, well, I don't know how often in a week or a month or even a year you go out after midnight, out on the town, out on the rantan. I probably do it 4 times a year now. I used to be much more often. And it can be quite enjoyable, pulling an all-nighter, dancing the night away, painting the town red. But many people frown on it. And there's a puritanical streak in New Zealand nature that's constantly trying to shut down where you can get a drink or go to a bar. And we've got all sorts of laws and regulations around opening hours and what sort of establishment you could run. Interestingly, the New Zealand Initiative, which is a think tank that looks at economic and other issues in New Zealand, has done a study about nightlife. And it released its findings today. Joining us now from the New Zealand Initiative is Dr. Oliver Hartwich. Oliver, welcome to the program. Nice to have you with us.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon.
Why did you decide to have a look at, well, nightlife in New Zealand? It seems a little bit outside the normal purview of the New Zealand Initiative.
Oh, well, Sean, there's nothing that economists couldn't analyze, of course. And it's an important part of New Zealand. It's an important part of life in New Zealand. And, you know, in New Zealand, we are working among the longest hours in the developed world. But we think if you're working that long, you have a right to party as well.
All right. So New Zealanders, and I guess we'd all like to think we work hard and play hard as New Zealanders. What do the statistics and the trends say about how we're playing and where we're playing as adults?
Well, we work hard, as you said, but we are, I think, not playing as hard as we could, because what we have seen in our study is that over the last few years, a couple of decades actually, we have opened more restaurants and cafes in the country, but on a per capita basis, the number of pubs and taverns and bars and clubs has declined. So I think we could probably have an even better time at night, and we are pointing out in our report that there are some other places around the world that show us how it's done.
Okay, what are the places that you think do it well and have vibrant nightlives, which I presume also, Oliver, generate economic activity, and if you manage the downsides or the negative effects, have net positive economic benefit?
Well, there are two places that we single out in the report that we think get it right. One of them is Amsterdam, because in Amsterdam, since 2003, they've had the institution of a night mayor. That's a dedicated person in local government trying to bring together all the different stakeholders in the nighttime economy and trying to find solutions so we can actually have safe, enjoyable, but really good nighttime experiences. The other place we single out is Melbourne, because in Melbourne, too, you have a vibrant nightlife. And the way that Melbourne has achieved that is actually introducing a very simple rule. If you are a newcomer to an area, you are responsible for the noise protection. That means if you are building a residential apartment block, for example, in an area characterized by nightclubs and bars, it is your problem actually dealing with the noise. Conversely, if you're trying to open a new pub in a residential area, it is also your problem because you cannot change the character of the neighborhood. And we think that's a good idea because someone needs to be responsible for that. And Melbourne actually shows us how you can deal with it.
So it's the newcomer that has to fit in with the existing use of an area or noise level of an area rather than the other way around.
Exactly. And I think that would take care of a lot of the problems we observe in dealing with our nighttime economy, if you just have that very clear responsibility. Because you shouldn't be able to just build an apartment block in an inner city in a really vibrant part of...
And then say, oh, it's noisy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it was noisy way before you arrived, and it's not their problem that it's noisy, it's your problem that you're building an apartment block there.
Yeah. Oliver, you talk about the reduction in bars, clubs, pubs compared with the restaurants. Isn't that because New Zealanders are, on the whole, drinking less?
New Zealanders are drinking pretty much on the average of alcohol, pure alcohol, that other developed countries are
drinking. Yeah, but in New Zealand, our alcohol consumption is dropping.
It is dropping, but it's dropping elsewhere as well. So that's not just a New Zealand phenomenon. The problem with New Zealand is, as you said before, we have a bit of a puritanical streak about us. It's the fear that someone somewhere might have fun, and that's upsetting to some New Zealanders. Well, we say that's very nice for you to hold such positions, but you shouldn't be able to dictate to the rest of us how we live our lives. We have to come together. We have to find solutions to make sure that those people who want to have a decent night's sleep, and that's fine, they can have it. But those people who want to go out and party and enjoy live music on a Friday night, they should be able to do that too. And we have to bring these two groups together so we can find solutions that work for everyone. But it shouldn't be that one part of society dictates to the others how we can live.
I got an old mate as a cop, and a lot of people have said it, you know, and I take where I live, Wellington, nothing good happens on Courtney Place after 12 o'clock on a Friday. Why don't we just all get more sleep and be more productive during our waking daylight hours, Oliver?
Well, I think we should definitely get more sleep, but you can probably do that during weekdays as well. But when it comes to Friday and Saturday night, I think it is totally legitimate for people to have a good time, go out, meet friends, enjoy live music and really enjoy themselves, because that's part of life too.
Okay. What are the economic benefits, or would the economic benefits of be of having more vibrant nightlife in our major cities?
Well, I think the economic benefits, if you're just looking at employment, are pretty clear. Currently, the sector employs about 20,000 people in New Zealand, and it generates economic revenues of about $2 billion. Of course, you could increase that, but I think it is more than just an economic benefit. It is more than just a dollar figure. It actually contributes to our quality of life, and that's something that's really hard to measure. But you can see what's missing when you don't have it. Look at Sydney. Sydney, until about a decade ago, had a vibrant nightlife. I lived in Sydney for a while, and I really enjoyed it. It was a really interesting place at night. Now, after a few incidents earlier in the decade, the Sydney state government of New South Wales has actually started to regulate it. So there are curfews and lockout hours and all sorts of other regulations in place in Sydney. And as a result, it is practically impossible to have a decent night out in Sydney anymore. The city has become a ghost town after midnight, and Oxford Street basically has no foot traffic left after about midnight. And that's simply not good for a city of that size. And actually, it's contributing negatively to Sydney's reputation, and international visitors now coming to Sydney, they will be surprised, because they expected something kind of like a big city has to offer when it comes to nightlife, and in fact they're finding something that looks a bit like a provincial town. So I don't think it's good for sending out a message to the world that you're open for business, that you're a good place to live, that you're offering a good quality of life. I think cities should be a little bit more exciting than that.
Okay. Are our licensing laws a problem in New Zealand?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Are our licensing laws a problem in New Zealand, and our regulations?
Yes, our licensing laws are certainly a problem. We are making it very difficult. We have very clumsy regulations, and this process is really expensive to operate. You spend a lot of money in legal fees until you get to the license, and then you still have to go through an appeals process. I mean, you just look at this story, nothing related to the nighttime economy, but just opening a simple bottle shop in Kandala in Wellington. That is costing the applicant more than $50,000 in legal fees in a sleepy suburb village in Wellington. It should never be like this. And as you probably hear from my accent, I come from Germany. That is also a big beer-drinking country, and our licensing regulations are a lot simpler, I tell you. In Germany, you can even get a beer at McDonald's. You can get spirits at local supermarkets. You can even get them at petrol stations, believe it or not. So I come from a culture that is way more relaxed when it comes to alcohol, but I can tell you from experience, we don't have any of the alcohol-related problems, really, that you would expect from that. I think you can take a much more relaxed, much more liberal stance towards alcohol and still get decent social outcomes.
Well, as I said, I think your report overall essentially is liberal and progressive in its tenor, and what it suggests we should do. Have you had a blowback from the Conservatives and the Puritans yet?
Not yet, but I'm prepared for it. I know that there are very strong views in New Zealand on that matter, but I think it is also good to represent the other side, because I think the majority of New Zealanders really, they want to have a good time, and they don't like the Wowzers defining and dictating what life should be.
Okay, so in your ideal world, or based on the report, how would New Zealand be different if the changes you want were implemented? Let's say, look, 5 years, how would going out for a night on the town in New Zealand be different than it is now?
I think it would be a lot safer. Currently, only 10% of the population say that they feel safe going out at night. I think they should feel safer, and I think one of the ways in which we could make life feel safer after dark is by just having more people out in the street. Currently, if you have streets emptying and cities emptying after a certain time, of course it doesn't feel safe, because there's hardly anyone there, and then if you're running into a shady figure, then of course you're frightened. So I think if we're creating a much safer environment, one that's more vibrant, and one in which we find a consensus between competing interests and between different stakeholder groups in the nighttime economy, I think we would have moved forward quite a bit.
All right. Oliver, I got to say, I like the idea. I just know that there are forces in New Zealand that are incredibly, incredibly opposed to the sort of progressive and liberal thinking that you've espoused and the research you've done on it. But I thank you very much indeed for trying and for joining us today.
Thank you, Sean.
Cheers. Dr. Oliver Hartwich there from the New Zealand Initiative. So he basically says we could have a lot more fun. Isn't that nice to have someone with doctor in front of their name? He says, hey, we can have more fun.